Please turn in your pew Bibles to page 983, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. As you turn there, let's bow our heads and pray for the reading, preaching, and the hearing of God's Word. Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son so that we may hear your words from your lips. Thank you for the Word of God and for this portion that we are to read and to learn from. Help us to pay careful attention, to listen, and to hear what you have for us this morning, that your Holy Spirit would guide us as we listen and guide the words as they are preached. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. And again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen! Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Well, one of the most basic and vital claims of Christianity is that our biggest problem is sin. It is not our jobs, our kids, our family, the weather. Our biggest problem is sin. Sin is the issue, and sin being rebellion against the Lord, in which sin comes in and corrupts and fractures and breaks. And in this parable this morning, we see one of the ways that sin has affected us. It's with our hearing. We have a hearing problem because of sin. And this is not just, you know, something with our physical ears that we can't quite hear well, but we have a spiritual hearing problem. And this is really important because Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish." So this hearing is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of, can we hear the Lord Jesus and follow him, or can we not? And so Jesus is, in this parable, confronting this problem. In verse 3, he says, "Listen." And in verse 9, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so Jesus is confronting this very serious hearing problem. But the good news is that this parable is going to point us to the solution. And this is matters immensely for our lives because, as we all know, listening is difficult on a human level. But as we come to God's Word, it is even more important and oftentimes more difficult. And so we're going to look at this parable in three parts. First, we're going to see what is this parable, what's going on, what is the purpose, and what is the point. And as we go through this passage, I have two questions for you to consider. What are you listening to? And what effect is it having on you? And so, as we open up this parable, in verse 1, we get the setting. And Jesus has been going about and been doing many, many works. And this is one of the first sections that is significant teaching. And so, we have him to sort of set the scene. You know, you're in maybe northern Galilee, and you hear Jesus is coming around nearby again. And so you hear that he's on the sort of the northwest coast, and you run down, and there's a huge crowd, a massive crowd around him, and they're all gathering up to the shore. And you can kind of see Jesus out on a boat, and then he sits down, all of this is sort of kind of peculiar, because if you imagine sitting in a boat, you can't imagine that really helping you hear him better. But many scholars believe that this parable was preached in a cove-shaped area, an area that everyone knew would be fairly easy to amplify sound, kind of like a Greek amphitheater, you know, it rises up on the sides. And so all of these details, what it says here in the beginning, that he got to the boat, he sat on it, a whole multitude was facing the sea, it's going to show that there was no problem with hearing Jesus' words. To audibly hear Jesus was not the problem. And so, in verse 2, he begins teaching them this parable. And as we hear the word parable, there's no explanation here for what that word means. So Mark is assuming that when he says that Jesus started teaching in parables, that everyone kind of understood what this meant. So this is something that was common both in the Old Testament, we just sang about speaking in parables, sayings of old, and it was also something that was very common amongst philosophers and those who were contemporary teachers. So, what all of this is, the reason why Jesus is now speaking in a parable is because he is trying to show them something that wouldn't be as clear if he just plainly, you know, said it from, stated the issue. What Jesus is doing here, you could say, is somewhat similar to when Nathan confronted David. David had sinned with Bathsheba, had Uriah murdered, and he thought, this isn't so bad, or he, could cover it up. But as Nathan came to him with the story of this man who abused and harassed this farmer, he sees that he is the person. And so the story is now opening up for Jesus' audience the heart problem that's going on. And so there are four different things that happen when Jesus is teaching this parable. He's showing that the seed is going to fall on four different soils. And so we have here seed that fell on the hard path, the rocky ground, the thorny ground, and then the good soil. And what, you know, we hear this parable, it's easy for us to think, I've heard this story so many times in church. I've heard the parable of the sower. I know the soils are referring to people's hearts, and, you know, we're kind of, makes sense. But for the original audience, we have to kind of step back and try to imagine we haven't heard this parable before, because to them, this was something that they just saw happening all the time. This would be as common as if, you know, someone came up to you and said, you know, a worker gets up in the morning, makes a cup of coffee, gets dressed, goes to work, comes home, goes to bed. And you're like, okay, what does that mean? And so when Jesus tells the story, there's nothing that would have, you know, most people would have kind of walked away and thought, what's so important about this? And so that's exactly the reaction that the disciples have. They are the ones, they ask that same question. When he was alone, verse 10, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. So they come to him with a reasonable question. What do you mean, Jesus? Most of us are farmers, and this is what we do all the time. And so this is moving us from the parable to why is Jesus teaching in this parable? What's the purpose? And he tells them here, plainly, that to you has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. In this parable, Jesus is teaching his followers what it means, not just to follow him, but what is Jesus really at work doing? What is Jesus doing as he is healing people and performing miracles and teaching? And he's telling them it's about the kingdom of God. Now, there was a whole multitude there, but only the disciples come and talk to him. And so Jesus explains that, you know, what's going on here is that to them it's been given to understand what's really going on, but to those who are outside, all these things come in parables. And so what Jesus is saying is that there are those who are on the inside and those who are on the outside. And those who are on the inside are there because they have come to Jesus to hear him more and to be near to him and to listen to him carefully. So the parables are acting like a filter, we could say. As you hear a parable preached, you're going to have a reaction. You're either going to say, this is, a farmer planting seed, cool. This is Jesus. He should be healing people. All right. And walk away. And then those who say, I want to hear you, I care about you, Jesus, I want to understand this more, are going to draw closer to him. And Jesus then tells them what all this means. So in verse 12, Jesus then quotes what we read earlier in the worship service from Isaiah. So that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. And Jesus is saying, to you has been given to understand the kingdom, and to those outside it's in parables, so that it has this dividing effect. So that it actually, the parable will show those who are committed, who really want to follow Christ. And similar in Isaiah's time, there were many of those who would honor the Lord, honor Yahweh with their lips, but they would, when it came to obedience and when it came to following the law, would just be hypocrites. And so Jesus is saying that just like in the time of Isaiah, where there were people who would be outwardly committed, but internally not, he's saying that is happening right now. And so a parable is needed to reveal in persons' hearts where they stand with the Lord. And so this is also, to back up slightly, where he says, it's been given you to know the mystery. So we hear this word mystery, and you know it's very easy to think of like, a detective novel or something, you know, a movie where there's some kind of, we don't really know what's going on, or there's some kind of secret conspiracy, some kind of mystery, which, you know, it's kind of like a riddle where we don't know the answer, or we won't get to the answer. But in the scriptures, mystery is always, it's always moving forward. It's always heading towards a point at which things will be revealed. So this mystery that he's talking about, the mystery of the kingdom, is that, as we'll see in the following explanation that he gives, the mystery of the kingdom is that the kingdom isn't coming with a one-time climactic bang. It's not coming with a intense moment of apocalypse. This is coming gradually. As Jesus comes, the kingdom is here. When Jesus was born and preaching and proclaiming the kingdom of God, that was the beginning of the kingdom being planted and growing from there. So Jesus, being the king, is the Lord over the kingdom. And that is the mystery, because for all those who had grown up in Israel at this time, there would have been an expectation. The Messiah comes, and this is it. Done. And we win. We beat the Romans, and we're out of here. And Jesus is saying, no, in fact, I'm here to die for you and to plant the word of God into individuals and their families, so the kingdom of God would grow, as we hear in other parables, like leaven in a lump of bread, slow and over time. And this secret or mystery is what Jesus is seeking to explain to his disciples, to those who have come to question and to understand more. And so, with the first portion giving us the parable, some people stay, some people go. The next telling us the purpose, why Jesus taught this, to help everyone understand what his work is. The last is to understand the point. What are we to do with this parable? How are we to understand what all of these, the four seeds mean? And so this gets to where we're probably a lot more familiar with, where there's four seeds. One is the path, or the hard path, or the road. And it says in verse 15 that when they hear, when this the word of God, which is the seed, is planted on the hard ground, that Satan comes and snatches it away. And the second one, the stony ground, is for those who hear and get really excited and are, say, embracing Jesus and the gospel, but as tribulation, persecution, challenges come, they stumble and don't continue to stay committed to Jesus. And the third is that the thorny ground, which is really showing that with each one of these soils, it's showing that there's a heart problem going on here. So the word is the seed planted into human hearts. So the first three are showing us what happens as this word is planted. The third one being the thorny ground, which Jesus summarizes in three categories: cares or anxieties of the world, deceitfulness or deception of riches, and the desire or lust for other things. And with each of these three soils, we see that there's fundamentally a problem. The seed falls on the ground, and it's going to maybe go in a little, but nothing ever comes of it. There's no fruit. There's no crop, which is the point. But the last one, the good soil, are those who accept and hear the word and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100, which means you plant 10 seeds into the ground, you get 30 times or 60 times or even 100 times. And with this last one, for those who would have been listening, they likely would have said, you're telling me that when you plant 10 seeds in the ground, you're going to get 100 times that? No one gets 100 times. I mean, from what I researched, most of the crops that are planted, the yield you might get is 10 or 15 times. So there's already something that, if they're hearing this parable, should have thought, there's something more going on here. to have 30 or 60 or 100 times means that this is extraordinary. This is something that the Lord has got to be at work in, a blessing from God. And so that is what makes the good soil really stand out. It bears fruit. The first three don't. And in each of these soils, we get a perspective. I said at the beginning that we're born to this world with a hearing problem. There are those who will hear the Lord, those who will follow Jesus, his sheep, and those who won't. And so these four soils, four conditions of the human heart, really do break down into two categories. We get all the confusion and the complexity of the hard and the rocky and the thorny, and then we have the pure commitment in the good soil. And so, as you hear this, one of the dangers or one of the challenges of this parable is to think, okay, if I'm hearing this and I'm sensing that my walk with the Lord is kind of struggling right now, or I'm, you know, having a really bad week, to think, oh, I must be in one of these three bad soils, and I just need to, you know, pray more and do a few more things, and then God will move me into being the good soil. And when we think about soil on the ground, it can't do anything for itself. It needs someone to come and to work the ground, to take it from being rocky soil and turn it into good soil. And so when you hear this story this morning, you might be thinking, well, where does this leave me? What am I to do about this hearing problem? And before jumping into a few points of application, I just want to emphasize that apart from the work of Jesus on the cross, there is no hope in this story. The whole of Scripture is very clear that we are born and come into this world with hard, rocky, and thorny hearts. Not one of us is born as the good soil. Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 11, no one understands. There is none who seeks after God. There is none who does good. No, not one. So for us to come to this parable and to think, I just need to become the good soil in my own strength, is missing the point. Jesus doesn't tell us this. He says to listen to him. And so what we need is new hearts. We need hearts which the Holy Spirit will come and work in us and give us this new life. That must be the foundation before we think about how we can listen better or how we can follow and depend on Christ more. That, you know, all of this, there's no super spiritual formula to have, you know, your heart move from one soil to the other. It's simple trust in Christ, faith in him. And so the solution to our hearing problem is the sower, Jesus, the one who is preaching God's word. He is the sower, the one who's coming to us and planting the word in us as we hear it on Sunday through the scriptures, and also as we hear God's word and we read God's word throughout the week. Jesus is constantly at work in you through his Holy Spirit. And Jesus is this great sower who gives ears to hear and eyes to see, because he alone is the one who can restore us. When we look at Jesus' life, he listened perfectly to the Father. He said, I do everything that the Father wills. Jesus obeyed in every way that we sin. And although his heart was actually truly perfect, Jesus' heart was pure, sinless, holy. It was pierced with the punishment that we deserve. Jesus' heart was actually pierced open, both because he bore the penalty of sin in his body, but also because he took the punishment of separation from the Father, of the spiritual consequences that we deserved. You could say that Jesus' heart was pierced so that ours could be opened. And so it's on this foundation that we can then look at this parable and think, how can I now tune my heart, tune my ears, listen more attentively to the Lord? What are things that will stir my love for Jesus? And so when you've been hearing this parable, it's easy to think, I've been anxious, I've been worried, I haven't been trusting the Lord. And the good news is that Jesus is eager for us to simply confess this to him. To just simply say, Lord, I've forgotten how precious you are and what you did for me. Forgive me for X, Y, Z. And the Lord promises forgiven. And that means that on that foundation, the shed blood of Jesus, we can then think of a few ways to listen better. And the first one being that listening takes humility. To listen means you have to recognize that you need something from someone else. If you're listening to the Lord, you know you need to hear him. If you listen to your managers or to your coworkers, there's something that they have to offer, something that you need. And particularly as an encouragement to the children, in this church, that listening to your parents is one of the ways that the Lord is preparing you to listen to him. As you listen to your parents, it's like a training ground. It's like the beginning stages to where the Lord will work on us as adults. Two last points of application. And the second is meditate. When we think about, I know for me, when the week gets busy and there's a lot going on, to just read scripture, pray, and go. And you're on the move and you got a list of things to do. But in Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." So there's kind of this third middle ground section that can really help us to listen to the Lord Jesus. Read God's words, yes, but then think, what are ways that in the busyness of life I can just think about what the Lord is doing? As you're doing your work, think that remember that he's with you. And you know, it could be as simple as you read a verse and you just think about, what does this tell you about God? What does this tell you about yourself or about the world? And as we do this, grounded in scripture, we are listening to Jesus. We are encouraged in Psalm 1 to meditate, and that it will be a delight. It'll actually be a delight to the heart. And lastly, ask others how the Lord is working in their lives. When you ask someone how they're doing, when you invite a question, it gives the opportunity to listen. It gives the opportunity for someone else to share and encourage a person in being able to share something that maybe they wouldn't have if they weren't asked. And as we do this, you know, it's in our culture, it's very easy to think, okay, I'm going to go pray in my individual time and have my individual scripture time, which is important. I don't minimize that. But if we have opportunity to share that with others, to talk about what others are being stirred in their walk with the Lord, it will oftentimes be a huge encouragement. And so, in conclusion, in this parable, as we've seen the different soils, the word of God, which we need to receive and accept, we see that Jesus' death has dealt with the biggest problem, which is sin. And now the healing of our hearts and our ears to spiritually hear is what he is doing every day and working on us. Jesus offers a promise in this parable that the good soil will bear good fruit. This is something that he will do in your lives. And so let us use this gift that the Lord has given us. He has given us his Holy Spirit to walk with him, to love him. Let us use this to show the world that Christ truly is reigning over his kingdom and that he will be victorious. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are patient with us and that you are a patient sower, and you continually press your word into our hearts so that we would delight in you, and that you are gentle and you convict us of sin and show us where we need to repent. And so, Lord, I ask that you would help us all to be quick to listen to you, Jesus, to listen to your word, to listen to your spirit, that we would repent quickly, confess our sins, and that we would be given the contentment and peace that comes through having peace with you. Thank you for your word, and give us the strength to embrace all of what you have for us, Lord, as fathers and wives, husbands, mothers, children. Help us to individually, help us to pursue together holiness.